My technology failed me today. I know 2 weeks ago I was using my iPad. I felt really cool, and my pride probably got the better of me, and the Lord said, not this week. So I'm going to be doing a little head turning now and then, so bear with me. So I'm not trying to alienate the people that are right here. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God that loves adults, teenagers, children, babies, both born and not yet born. You are a God that can redeem even the most horrible of sins because you sent your Son. And we're thankful for that. We're grateful for that. And it's because of that that we come here and we want to worship you and grow to be more like our older brother Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right. So welcome back to our counterculture series. Last week we had Tim teaching us about serving the poor and poverty. You don't go the wrong way or it makes that noise. Or it doesn't go at all. There we go. So this week we are talking about abortion, right? That's it sounds super controversial, but I think 99% of our conversation today shouldn't be controversial at all. So if you came for the controversy, I'm hopefully gonna disappoint you today. But we're going to be moving through next week. We have Tim again talking about ministering to orphans and widows. So stay tuned for that. If you want to see the rest of this, is going to be real difficult if my clicker only works some of the time. All right. If I find the right spot, I'll just keep my arm right here. All right. So before we dig into the topic today, I do want to just kind of do some review over the last couple of weeks, some of the guidelines, and offer some clarification. I got some feedback after the first session that we had, and I want to clarify a few things. Hopefully it'll clear up and make some more sense. So, see, I thought I had my arm in the right spot. So regarding class discussion, did this for you, Lisa. I put scripture at the top this time. So number one, we have God and his word. Number two, everyone can participate if they want to. I'm not going to call on you if you're shy. That's fine. You don't have to talk if you don't want to. No one dominates the conversation. We're going to be respectful of everybody and their time and their thoughts and their opinions. So I want to go back into these levels of belief that we talked to 2 weeks ago. Convictions. This is driving me insane. All right, I might have to have somebody click for me. That's a big stretch for you to do every single time. Give me one more click. All right. Oh, too many clicks. All right, so we talked about these convictions, persuasions, and opinions. And I wanted to reframe what these things mean and where we are applying them to. So we're talking about topics such as abortion, same-sex attraction, things like that. I'm not saying that we should take those topics and apply this to those topics, because I think every single topic that we're talking about in this entire series, Scripture is very clear. There's no real gray there, right? So like today we're talking about abortion. Abortion is sin. Abortion is murder. Like that's not the thing that we're thinking through. Oh, is my view of abortion this or that? That's not where I'm saying we should apply this. Where I'm saying this application applies is what you do with that. Now, so we talk about we have abortion. Okay, great. Now what? And that's where I wanted to focus this to where, oh, I have this feeling, I have this opinion that I think, you know, to support the poor, I need to go hand out money every time I see somebody on the side of the street. So I'm going to say, that's what, Ian, you have to do that too. That's what I'm saying. Maybe we don't hold that to a conviction. That's just my personal opinion, preference. So that's where I'm saying we apply those things. I think there are theological areas where these things could apply, but I don't think we're going to get to that in this class, like I said, because these topics are pretty much decided. Maybe if you're holding it there, it'll work for me. Oh, look at that. Did you do that or did I do it? Oh, I felt like I did it, though. So, the other thing I wanted to kind of go over is, so what are we doing here? I think that was another thing that might have been a little bit lost. I wanted to read this quote. I don't know if this is Kevin DeYoung or Greg Gilbert at this point, but it's from this book, which is a great book, if you're ever interested. They say, the mission of the church is to go into the world and to make disciples by declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit, gathering these disciples into churches that they might worship and obey Jesus Christ now and in eternity to the glory of God the Father. Do you guys agree with that? You think that's a good statement? I think it's a great statement. And if we go to the next slide here, I basically break it down into these two things, right? We make disciples, we equip the saints. So what do these topics have to do with that? Not a whole lot, right? Maybe the equipping the saints part. But my point is, the goal of this class is not to say, okay, Redeemer, we've missed the boat on how we can serve people with abortion, so we're going to create another program. Or we want to be able to help the poor now, so we're going to go create another program. Because what happens is, and you can go ahead and click to the next one here, we could have this on our website, where it's just this, and this is First Baptist Dallas. Some of these things are great. I'm not going to argue with that, but that's a lot of stuff. And I would say a lot of that stuff is not necessarily, you know, making disciples and equipping the saints. So to avoid getting there, that's not what we're doing. So what are we doing then? We are equipping you guys, individuals, to take these topics that, like we talked about the first week, that are not, they're things that all believers should care about. We all care about the poor. We all mourn and we hurt for the loss of lives and abortion and hurt for the mothers. But we want to do things about that. And that's where the equipping the saints, for us to go out after we walk out of this building, after we walk out of these halls, what do we do? So let's go ahead and go to the next one here. So the last thing we're going to review is the four methods of engaging with the culture. So you're going to have all the answers, so you can't tell anybody. Don't spoil it for us. Who can remember the first method of engagement that we talked about? They all start with C. I'll give you a hint. Conform, is that the first one? All right. Did you cheat? Did you see from behind? Yeah, I saw that. I've always thought Kathleen looked a little shady. Now we know for sure. No. So we conform. So we just give in to what the world's doing around us, right? That we already established that's not ideal. So then we have another one. What's the second one? This is actually my favorite one. Go ahead. We check out. I just am not going to think about it. I'm not going to deal with it. It just complicates my life. These darn sinners, they just get in my way, right? That's also not the correct way to engage with our culture most of the time. I think there might be times when it's appropriate to check out, because the next one especially, you can go ahead and advance for us. We combat. Sometimes we can go in too aggressive. Maybe we should check out a little bit. Not 100%, but back off at least. We don't want to combat, because people don't come to Christ by being beat over the head, at least not very often. I think that the Spirit can beat us over the head sometimes, and I think that's what converts people, but we don't need to do that. So what David Platt in his book has proposed is that there is the fourth way, which is the way that he proposes, which is our whole, and you guys should get this because it's the title of the class. So what's the next one? Counter. I heard somebody say it. Thank you. So we counter. So the world says, okay, this topic, we do X. Instead of saying X is the worst, you're terrible, we say, okay, cool, you do X. Have you thought about Y instead, or Z instead? And that's what we want to do. We want to have something else to offer the world, and hopefully that something else that we offer is going to be attractive to people too, and ultimately draw them to Christ. So that's our quick review. Yes, do we have microphones or not today? Okay, we got a question up front here. I'll repeat it if you, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. We don't conform. I choose confront. You can't ignore the issues.
Yeah.
We have to confront them as they come.
Right. So, yeah. So she's saying that we confront. And I think confront is part of countering. Because you can't counter unless you engage and you say, no, that's not what we think, not what we believe. Here's the alternative. So that was actually some of the other feedback. I think it was talking to Gary Matlack, who's not here today, but one of the feedback he gave is, like, if we're talking about counterculture, kind of need to know what the culture thinks so we can counter it. So that's one of the things I'm going to try to focus on too as we go through this is, here's what the world thinks, what do we then think, and how do we engage with that? So, all right, we got one more over here. Sorry, I feel like I do have my back to you guys. I'm really sorry.
I guess my question is, why are 3 and 4 mutually exclusive? I think you kind of covered that.
3 and 4.
I think the thing we have to understand is whether we want to be at war or not, we're at war with the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age is at war with us, regardless. And so I think we have to be honest about that and say, you know, we're not going to compromise. There's so few Christian leaders right now, honestly, that I look up to. There are very few that I want to emulate or that I want my kids to be like, because they are so compromised with the spirit of the age. In my opinion, there's a handful that I respect, but in general, we just don't stand for anything. We don't fight against evil. We don't call sin what it is.
Yep. Yeah, again, I would say that still can be done in countering. Right? So, like, today's a good example. When we talk about abortion, we need to be able to call abortion what it is, and we're going to, that actually takes us into where we're going. We need to call it what it is, but then also have something to offer, too, because I feel like we need to take that next step of past that. So I'm not saying that maybe countering doesn't have some of these other elements in it, because there are times where, yeah, you got to kind of maybe engage, and it might be loud or whatever if you're trying to convey your opinion, but ultimately what we want is to be able to offer something else, right? Like, if you're countering when you're buying a car, you know, I've got another offer I want to give you. That's kind of where my head's at. Go ahead, Mark.
One of the things that Platt does, I think, a good job in the book on combat is he's not saying we don't combat, we don't fight like you're saying, but I think what we need to keep in mind is who is the enemy. And the enemy, who's the spirit of the power of darkness, who is behind all of these things, we fight. The sinner caught in that is not our enemy.
Right.
And we're not out to fight the sinner.
Right.
You know, we're out to fight the ideology.
Yeah. We want to bring that sinner in.
Yeah. I mean, I would just respond to that by saying, you know, we're at war with ideas, and we're at war with ideologies which are hostile to the gospel, against the truth. You know, it's a pursuit of ultimate truth. And so, you know, mercy triumphs over justice. I mean, mercy triumphs over judgment in terms of, you know, dealing with sinners and dealing with individuals. But in terms of, you know, combating lies, which are hostile to the gospel, you know, I don't want to compromise on any way on that.
No, I don't think compromise. Yeah, I don't think compromising, and I think compromise would fall under that the first one, right? I don't think anybody's trying to advocate that we do that. So, all right, let's move on to the topic at hand. Thank you for, you're like predicting my advancing now. So we can go one more. So we're talking about the gospel and abortion. Go ahead, one more. So, like I said, there's nothing controversial here. Let's talk about the bottom line when we talk about abortion. So we got, I think there's four things here. The first, it's sin. Like you said, we're going to call it what it is. Abortion is sin. It's evil. It's murder. And ultimately, it's a terrible tragedy for everybody involved, whether that's obviously the child, the mother, the doctors. It's all very sad. And I think it's important that we keep this in mind as we have this discussion, that this is what we're building on top of. This is our conviction. If you think that top of the pyramid, we're not bending on this. I think we can't bend on the fact that abortion is sin. Scripture is very clear about that. And here are a few scriptures that I wanted to point out, you know, because I said in the first week that abortion is not in Scripture. That's true, literally. There's no word abortion in Scripture. Does that mean abortion's not addressed in Scripture? Absolutely not. It's very much so addressed. And these are just a few verses that we have. So we have Psalm 139, 13 and 14. For I formed you, I formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Very clear that inside the mother's womb is important to our God. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 6, this is the calling of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a youth. I love this verse, and I love Jeremiah's response here. Because it's so, he's saying, I'm too young for this. And this is like a half a second before God's like, yeah, man, I knew you before you were even in the womb. Do you not understand? Like, this is me. This isn't all you. Who cares if you can't speak, right? I'm God. but I love the fact, too, in this verse that, you know, it's before the womb even, right? Our God is a God that surpasses time. So when we talk about the value of life, you know, starting at conception, like, God's like, that's great, guys, but to me, it starts before conception. I love that. I love that passage. So we got two more here coming up next. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of a womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man whose his quiver is full with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with the enemies in the gate. It's just, again, the value of children. Children are a blessing, regardless of the circumstance in which they were conceived or born. They're a blessing. I always wonder, blessed is the children of one's youth. I don't know what that means for guys that are older that have kids. I guess you're out of luck, right? I don't know. I always kind of laugh at that passage. It's like, all right, I got to get my kids out of the way while I'm young. Then we have Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So even unborn children are image bearers. And that's, to me, that's the crux of why we care so much about life, is that we are talking about image bearers, and we don't want to destroy any image bearer. I think that's why we care and why we're passionate. And I think it's also why engaging with somebody who's not a believer on this topic is so hard, is because if you don't start with that image bearer model, like, what's it matter then at that point? So I think that's one thing, just in from my perspective, that makes these conversations difficult with unbelievers. Not probably as difficult as the conversation with believers that would say abortion's okay. That might be a harder conversation, but still hard. Jeff, you got in the back here?
In this chapter is that when we think about abortion, according to the passages that you've put up, especially the Psalm 139 passage, that really abortion is an attack on the work of God himself. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's an interesting parallel when we consider the unpardonable sin, right? Attributing the works of the Spirit to Satan himself. Mm. There's a sense in which the work of the Spirit is being despised. And, you know, really to try to frame, you know, this issue from that perspective, that really what abortion is doing, certainly it is an attack on human value, the sanctity of human life. And, you know, sometimes I wonder if when we think about this issue, yes, we're thinking rightly that it is the ending of a human life, but it is also, and maybe even more importantly for us as Christians, thinking about it as the despising of the work of God, the undoing of the work of God, the destruction of God's work. And for us, boy, just, you know, how serious that issue really is.
Yeah, no, that's a good comment. Yep. Yeah, right here too, Charles. Can we... Special thanks to Charles and Mark for being my runner.
I volunteer as a male advocate at a abortion, as a pregnancy center against abortion. So I see a lot of these things coming in, believers and non-believers. Some of them are just testing to see if they're pregnant,
yep.
And some of them are there because they want to terminate the pregnancy. And since I've been volunteering there, and some people know that I have been, there's been several people that have come up to me and basically confess that they have had abortions in the past. Mm-hmm. And what I want to make real clear, because I don't know the room in which I'm talking to here, and I don't know every individual, that for the repentant heart, this is a forgivable sin.
Oh, yeah.
But yet it weighs heavy on all of these people, men and women.
Yep.
And as we come to Christ and confess our sins, and as we get that sin out of our lives and believe that we're forgiven, then we could move on. So I want to make real clear, yes, it's murder,
yep.
Yes, it's sin, and yes, to the Christian, it's a forgivable sin that the blood of Christ covers and forever is forgiven.
Definitely, yep, thank you for saying that. We're actually, that's one of the things we're going to get to, so I appreciate you pointing that out. So real quick, all right, one more, and then we're going to move on here.
For those Christians who might be convinced to allow abortion in rape and incest cases, I would like to remind them that these are the only two crimes in which the innocent party is given a death sentence and everybody else is let go.
Mm-hmm.
So stand your ground, even for rape and incest.
Yep. All right, let's talk a little bit now about what the world thinks. So let's go to the next one here and click one more. We'll start this video. We got sound. Go ahead.
Hit it. And for many people, it's not a black and white issue. So why do people try to label it like it is? Pro-choice, pro-life. The truth is, these labels limit the conversation and simply don't reflect how people actually feel about abortion. A majority of Americans believe abortion should remain safe and legal. Many just don't use the words pro-choice. They don't necessarily identify as pro-life either. Truth is, they just don't want to be labeled. What they want is for a woman to have access to safe and legal abortion if and when she needs it. But when it comes to abortion, who decides? Her congressman? Her governor? Her president? Women don't turn to politicians for advice about mammograms, prenatal care, or cancer treatments, and they shouldn't. Politicians don't belong in a woman's personal medical decisions about her pregnancy. When it comes down to it, we just don't know a woman's specific situation. We're not in her shoes. Ultimately, decisions about whether to choose adoption, end a pregnancy, or raise a child must be left to a woman, her family, and her faith, with the counsel of her doctor or healthcare provider. So the next time you talk about abortion, don't let the labels box you in. Have a different conversation, a conversation that doesn't divide you, but is based on mutual respect and empathy. To learn more, go to notinhershoes.org.
So, that says the next time we talk about this, not to let the labels distract us, but we're going to. Sorry, Planned Parenthood. We could spend probably like the next hour unpacking the logical fallacies of this video, There are a lot, but it just kind of shows you what the world's doing, right? It's not overly subtle, but it's somewhat subtle that there's attack here going on to us, people that value life, right? Because obviously, if we value life, we don't want women to have safe access to doctors. So there's these, like, they're dropping hints of why we're terrible people for thinking the way we think. But to me, I'm like, we're talking about comparing a baby to cancer? That's strange to me. But let's do, we got one more video from Bill Nye the Science Guy, of all people. So let's see what he has to say. The arrow one more time should start the...
When it comes to women's rights with respect to their reproduction, I think you should leave it to women.
He's a science guy.
Nobody likes abortion, okay? But you can't tell somebody what to do. I mean, she has rights over this, especially if she doesn't like the guy that got her pregnant, especially if she were raped and all this. We have so many more important things to be dealing with. We have so many more problems. To squander resources on this argument based on bad science, on just lack of understanding, at some point we have to respect the facts. Recommending or insisting on abstinence has been completely ineffective. Not giving women access to birth control has not been an effective way to lead to healthier societies. So I just really encourage you to not tell women what to do and not pursue these laws that really are in nobody's best interest.
All right, so if you love Bill Nye the Science Guy like I did growing up, maybe that was hard for you to watch. Apparently, if you don't like the guy, it's okay. Which, there are times my wife doesn't like me, so now I'm starting to wonder about that. But again, this to me highlights the difficulty in talking with somebody that's starting from a different place than we are, right? There are more important issues because it's not life, it's just a bundle of cells. So it's hard to have these conversations with the world. It's hard to engage. But I think we need to, and we have to. Let's go ahead and go to the next. So I'm going to do a little quiz here based upon these terrible facts to see how close y'all are to getting some of these right. So let's advance the first one. And just shout it out. We don't need to do microphones for this. What do you think the percentage of women who get abortions identify as Christians?
85.
We have 50, 85. That's a good... We'll meet in the middle. 70. 70% of people that have abortions are identified as Christians. That should be troubling. All right, the next one. Every blank seconds, a baby's life is taken by abortion. 10.5? 7? It's not as grim as you guys are making it, but it is bad. 30 seconds. Every 30 seconds, a baby is killed through abortion. All right, next is approximately what percentage of U.S. pregnancies end in abortion? 50? I actually don't remember now. 18. That's of all pregnancies and an abortion. That's almost a fifth. How many legal abortions were reported in the U.S. in 2018? That's, I think, the last year where some of this data was collected. You could try to do the math of the 30 seconds, but it's 620,000. So think about that every year over a year. That adds up to quite a bit. That's true. Legal. And that's only U.S. And U.S. is, I think, number 9. What's that? Like the morning after pill? I don't know, actually. if that is or not. There's some slight good news in that that number is actually lower than it has been in many years. We creeped almost up to 1 million, I think, at one point. Steadily kind of gone down since the mid-90s. All right, one in how many women under the age of 45 have had an abortion? Three or four, depending on the statistic you look at. One in four women under the age of 45 have had an abortion. So this is some depressing content. It should be like a gut punch to us as believers. All right, so we have this need for the gospel. Jeff, this is pretty much, I think, the quote you were talking about from David Platt. Abortion is an affront to God's authority as creator, an assault on God's work in creation, an attack on God's relationship with the unborn. Once we realize the severity of abortion before God, the implications of the gospel for abortion become clear. Because the solution for abortion is the gospel at the end of the day. Regardless of what the sin is, the solution is the gospel. That's the only thing. So we have some options of how we respond to our culture when it comes to abortion, and we're going to talk through a few of them. The first is we proclaim the truth. So like you were saying, we don't beat around the bush about what's real. Proverbs tells us, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, that's checking out. Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? So scripture is clear. We are to respond to these lives that are taken away. So the other thing that you were hinting at, I think, Michael, is we love the hurting. Because studies show, too, that even non-believers who view abortion as a valid, legitimate option struggle with shame, which to me just highlights the fact that, you know, God's law is written on our hearts. You know, Marcel and I have a good friend who's not a believer who's had an abortion, and, you know, she struggles with it after the fact still. So it's important to think about the people that are involved, whether or not they agree with you or not. Our call is still to love them, regardless if they agree or not. 2 Corinthians 1 tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort of which we ourselves are comforted by God. I'm trying to count how many comforts there are in that sentence. There are a lot, and I'm glad, because we need comfort, and we are therefore then called, because we are comforted through our Lord Jesus Christ, to go and comfort others. So I think it is our duty to go and love these people that are hurting because of whatever their role was in that. Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. So participate where led. So these are a couple of things that David Platt says you could do to get involved. And I know that many of you already are doing lots of these things. Prayerfully consider taking these steps. Write your representative in Congress to lay out why abortion needs to stop. You know, we are told in Scripture that the purpose of government is to maintain order and morality and fight for injustice, and we fail when we allow abortion to happen. We work with ministries or participate in events to seek and uphold the value of unborn human life. You can volunteer at a crisis pregnancy center to help those that are struggling and they feel like they might not have any other options. So let's get to the next one here. All right, so there's an elephant and a donkey in the room. So I liked, go back one more. We'll keep it on here for a second. I like their faces. That's why I chose this one. So the reality is we have a two-party system in our country, one that is on one side of this issue, one that's on the other side of this issue. I don't want to talk about politics, or at least not until the second to last class, because that's where we'll dig more into this. But the only comment I want to make is there are believers that might prefer the elephant or prefer the donkey, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they are pro-life or pro-choice, one or the other. So I just want to be sensitive to that conversation when you're having it with people in our own room here. So that's all I want to say about that. We're going to leave it there. I'm not even going to answer any questions about this. If you want to talk about this, let's talk after class, because we could spend too much time on this. So I'm going to stop it there.
I really think, though,
Hold on. the reason I want to stop you too, Ian, is because I want to have this conversation just when we have this topic, because this is actually going to be a topic of one of the classes.
Okay.
The politics one.
Well, I strongly disagree.
I know.
How you vote.
I know.
You're killing babies by your vote.
I get it.
It's not mutually exclusive.
Okay. Again, this is where I would apply the pyramid to that and be gracious to those that might disagree with that. Ian, let's save it for the second to last class. I'm not saying I don't want to have this conversation. I do, but we got other things to focus on. But I appreciate it. So let's move on quickly before. No, just kidding. So that's all I wanted to stop and say on that. But where I want to talk about is just a couple of options if you're wanting to get involved of things that you could do. Human Coalition is one. I know we have several people here. I appreciate Lacey Nelson in the back. You no longer work there, right, Lacey? August 4th. But I bet she still knows a lot about it, so you could talk to her. I think Pam Matlack's there too, right? Is that correct? Okay. So there are plenty of people in the congregation. If you want more information, you could talk to them. I would also say the other one that we have locally here to us, if you want to go to the next one, is we have Hope Women's Center too. So there are ways to get involved locally here, and there are people that are very closely affiliated with this too in our congregation. So if you want more information, feel free to ask me, any of the elders, deacons, or if you know the people directly, you can do that too. But there are areas you can serve locally. Let's go ahead and move on to the next. So the last thing that we can do, I skipped something on the love of the hurting, so you don't have to go back to that slide, but I do want to comment on it, is that statistic that we saw, that 70% of abortions are people that identify as Christians, and then we have that statistic of 1 in 4 women under the age of 45 have had an abortion. It should make you stop and think, okay, that probably includes people in our church. And there are some studies, too, that show that actually abortion rates are higher in churches than they are outside. So what I did was I took some statistics from our church. I made some educated guesses on how old some of the women are. I know that's a terrible thing, right? A guy that's just trying to, like, see what the ages of all the women in the church. But I did. And by my count, we have 121 women between the ages of 13 and 45 at our church, which means if that statistic's true, 30 women in our church have probably had an abortion. I don't know if that's true. Might not. Hopefully it's less. Hopefully it's not more. But the reality is there are people here. So when we have these conversations, we can talk about it being sin all we want. That's great. We need to do that. But there are also people that know that it's sin. They're dealing with that shame. So I want to make sure we're being sensitive, not just outside these walls with people, but also inside, because it's a problem inside the church too. So I meant to mention that on the one before, but we'll leave that there. So our last countercultural option is we pray. So Platt gives us a couple of things that we can pray for, one being that to end the injustice of abortion in our country and around the world, to ask for forgiveness, whatever part we might play in abortion, and that could be different for everybody, just depending on how the Lord is convicting you. And then convict those in positions of power to use their influence to end abortion. Obviously, there are other ways you can pray for this topic, but these are just a couple of guidelines. So what I would want to do for the next 10 minutes is I want to actually pray with each other. I want us to get together. When we go to presbytery meetings, they do this thing, and I want to do it here too, where before the service starts, after the service, before the meeting starts, we pray, and the rule is you can't pray with anybody from your church. So we break off into groups of like two or three, and we have to pray with somebody that we don't really know from another church. So my rule today, I want you to break up in groups two or three, not somebody in your family. So you've got to find somebody else, not in your family, and I want us to pray for the next 10 minutes or so. You can use these, you don't have to use these, but let's pray. This chapter is called A Modern Holocaust, because that's what this is, right? This is a holocaust. We're talking about millions of lives lost every year around the world. Yeah.
I appreciate the opportunity to pray and the call to. But if I may, a couple things. Thinking back to the Bill Nye the Science Guy video.
Yep.
And some of the statistics you put up right after that. I actually do ask forgiveness if I step on any toes. This is a sensitive issue. But some of the statistics that I perceive may be helpful are, what is the statistic of women who are seeking an abortion because of rape? What are the statistics of young, shallowly evangelical teenage girls who are terrified of whatever,
right,
who are seeking abortion? What is the statistic of the 20 or 30 something person who is legitimately scared because of finances and derailment of a very promising career?
Right.
Because those are the statistics I perceive that are actually going to help us understand the people. And this is what I didn't like about Bill Nye, what I think we as Christians can fall into, is an oversimplification and then a scoffing. Just because you don't like the guy. Well, rape is kind of traumatic.
Yeah.
And I can only intellectually imagine, so I'm not even going to. But to have that constant reminder of such a traumatic event, I can't imagine the toll on the human psychology, which brings it back to why the power of the gospel is the only thing.
Right.
Because Bill Nye says, oh, abstinence doesn't work. Well, yeah, of course abstinence doesn't work, because you're not teaching it as an aspect of the gospel.
Right.
These will only all work in the gospel. So I guess if I could, at the risk of rambling, I think we've all done this. We all understand that it is the gospel. That's true. But I think we also would do well to recognize that patience is going to be required.
Yeah.
And as we're patient in dealing with people who are coming from a position, not compromising our perspective on abortion, but just how do we as a group in our churches teach the gospel better so that people can make better choices in light of it? But then also when confronted with people who are going through real psychological situations, how do we actually use the gospel to help minister to them?
Right. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. And I would agree with you. And I think you're right. Those statistics do help in how you talk. I remember some of them. I know that, like, I think rape and incest is 0.5 or less percent. But all right, I'm going to stop. I know you guys got questions. I'm going to stop, though, because I want to make sure we have time to pray. And then if we have enough time, we'll hit some of these afterwards. Sure. Okay.
We've talked a lot about the women who are impacted by abortion, and I just don't want people to forget the men.
Yep.
There are men who have pressured women and feel remorse, and there are men who had abortions against their will, and they have to still deal with that, and that's a pain that doesn't go away. So I know we talk about women, and that's important, but do not forget the men.
That's a very good point. I appreciate you bringing that up. That's so true. And that's what I mean by the at first, right, talking about the tragedy. There's so many people that are affected, involved, or even like parents of young teenage girls, like it's their grandchild. So there's lots of pain there. So okay, let's break. So find one or two other people in this room, and we're gonna pray for 10 minutes. And I'll tell us when it's time to stop. Real quick, my producers have just let me know that there's actually, my producers, it's Greg Lewis, had just let me know that there's actually going to be a pro-life conference coming up here at church, November 5th and 6th, correct? What's it called again? I forgot everything you just said to me.
We do a great job here at Redeemer of letting other people utilize our building, and that's what we're allowing to do. This conference has grown much larger than what they've done in the past, and so they've asked us to use this. We're saying, hey, we'd be glad. Jordan's already approved it. It's November 5th and 6th. The website is prolifeisnotenough.com. It's basically a conference about getting rid of abortion in the state of Texas. And our members get 50% off. So if you want to come, you can see me, and I'll give you the code on their website. And it's supposed to be amazing. You can go to the website and find out more about the different speakers and the topics they'll be giving.
Great. And Brittany, you had a question, right? Or you had a comment?
Oh, I was just going to say, it always staggers me when I look at the website, numberofabortions.org. Mm. There's an abortion clock, or it's numberofabortions.com. The statistics look like every 5 seconds out of the last 500,000 abortions in our country that we know of. Last year, 5,000 of them are for incest and rape. So I just thought that statistic might be helpful.
Yeah, thank you.
But no, it's every second if you look at it worldwide.
Right,
63 million since 73.
Yeah, that's a lot. All right, let's... We're at time here, so I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and we'll break. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have this morning to discuss this topic. We do ask that you would bring an end to abortion, not just in this country, but in this world. Lord, we ask that you would place leaders that would despise abortion. We ask that you would raise up Christian men and women that would take a stand against it. We ask that you would also raise up people that would be comfort to those that have suffered through an abortion, whether male or female or just a family member. Father, we ask that you would prepare our hearts and our minds in this next half hour to enter into your Lord's Day worship, that our worship would be pleasing to you, that you would open our ears and our hearts to receive your word, and that we would go out the rest of this week as a light, as ambassadors of Christ to a fallen and dark world. We're so thankful for you and your love for us and your son. In his name we pray. Amen.